9 days left. How do you give a schmooze to change ourselves in 9 days? So many of you would tell me, some of you actually just did, that in 9 days, either you're in it or you're not. We've heard schmoozing all year. Either we've heard the messages and we've internalized them, or we haven't. But in 9 days, there's not much that can be changed in our year. So I want to argue that what I'm going to talk to you about now is not to change the next 9 days. What I want to speak about is how to take these 9 days and utilize them to change your life, if you wanted to. If you like.
Different gears,
though. There's no one here in the yeshiva that hasn't planted seeds, some more, some less. But really what this next week has to be about is to harvest those growths. Like it says in the Gemara, a person zorea, he plants the seeds, and he's not kotzer, he doesn't harvest. So what was it all for? And it's very, very crucial to think about things now in the next few days or the next 9 days if you want it to affect you, you know, beyond this year. 19 years ago, I was on NC Swakola. I was there one summer, my life when it was in Efrat, in days when it was Efrat. And Rav Tursky Shlita spoke, I don't know if he still does, the last Shal Shos of the Kolo. He was featured to speak, to give the last inspiration to the Kolo. And I remember very vividly what he spoke about. And he said there, he quoted the Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish says it in a different context, in Dina de Mofus Adina, he says that there's never, listen to this, there's never going to be a situation that may ever arise in your life that the halacha doesn't have some response to. Nothing. There's nothing you will ever experience that there's no halachic representation in some way, shape, or form. And that's an amazing statement. So I remember he asked at the time, it was an amazing summer, there was such tremendous ruchnius over the whole summer. He asked, what's the halacha? What's the halacha? We're about to leave off an amazing summer. Here we're about to leave off an incredible year, an entire year, absorbed in ruchnius in Yerushalayim. What's the halacha at the very end, the last 9 days that represents our experience right now? And he said that the halacha, perhaps he suggested the halacha is the halacha of lina. Has anybody heard of that halacha? Halacha of lina? Good. I'm going to tell you what it is. The pasuk says, Ufanisa baboker, the halachta lo halacha. That when you come, let's say you bring a bikurim or an olas riyah, you come to Yerushalayim, the halacha is that you're not allowed to leave Yerushalayim that night. You did what you had to do. You brought your bikurim, you brought your olas riyah. You did everything that the Torah mandated you. The Torah says, Ufanisa baboker. You're going to only leave tomorrow morning. You cannot leave tonight. Why not? I did what I had to do. Let me go. So the Torah says, the Gemara talks about this halacha, there's a din lina that you have to sleep over in Yerushalayim. Why? The answer is, because whenever you encounter ruchnius, if you just hit and run, you do what you had to do, even if you were engaged in ruchnius, and you run out, it will not affect you. It won't stay with you on your way back. And the point of the karbanos, the point of coming to Beis HaMikdash, of encountering that, is so that it transforms you in some way. So the halach is stay over, sleep in Yerushalayim, contemplate what just happened, internalize, think about how you're going to carry this over to your life, and then and only then are you allowed to leave. Ufanisa baboker, halach d'lo'alecha. So, if that's the case over a summer, it's certainly the case over a year. I want to suggest that the next 9 days that we have in yeshiva is the 9-day Lina training program. Now, you can all think about things you want to, you know, put into your Lina training program. It sounds like one of Rablaski's mitzayim, 9-day Lina training program. But I'm not paying you. But you'll get a lot of skar for this if you do it right. So I wrote out 5 different things that I think, if you think about now, if you take seriously now over the next few days, everything that you've gained until now, whatever it is, it will have such a far-reaching impact on the rest of your life. And if you choose to come to Yerushalayim and run away, then there's nothing that's going to stay with you. It's going to be a hit and run. So what are some of the things in my 9-day Lina training program? Again, you can subtract or add whatever you think, but you have to take it seriously over the next few days. Number one, you have to make concrete decisions now before you get on the plane. It has to be done now. Don't wait till you get home. This is true if you're going to be in college next year. If you're only going to be home for the summer, you're going to be back here next year. Most people here were home Pesach. Most people, even if you weren't, you were out of the yeshiva routine. Most people here know the nisyonos that are waiting for you at home. There are no surprises generally. You know where the pitfalls are. You have to now decide how you're going to confront those nisyonos. Which means that if you know where you're going to be next year in college, if you know where you're going to be, you know where the minyanim are. You know where the base medrash is. You know that you have to make a chavrusa now for next year. If you're going to wait to figure it out, we all know it doesn't work. You have to do it now when things are clear, when you know what you're supposed to do. If you wait, you're asking for trouble. There's a certain clarity that you have here that you won't have. We know as soon as you get to America, as soon as you step out of the structure of Shiva, things get murky, things are fuddled, things are unclear, there's that sharpness doesn't stay. I once heard from Rav Tursky, quoted from Rav David Lifshitz, he said, if you ever have a major decision to make in life, you know you should make that decision? He said, wait if you can, wait till Ne'ilah. Right before Ne'ilah on Yom Kippur, that's when you should make your decision. Because everything is so, who has svegas about what's right and wrong in this world when you're holding right before Ne'ilah? It's like everything is so clear. Everything in life, what you're supposed to wear, that's when you should make a decision. Rabosai, we're holding here in the Elah. The Elah's Torah, Shra, Gatav, Shin, Ayin, Tas is now. It's not going to be clear later on. So all the types of decisions in terms of which minyan I'm going to dive in, who are the people that I need to avoid when I get home? We all know who the chever is that we don't want to associate with ourselves. Who's the chever that I want to, now, write it down now, while it's clear. There's actually a Rashi, a tourist when he was here earlier this year, he quoted in this week's Parsha, that has to do with the Rashi, it's according to Gemara and Brachas to Gemara. So to the Gemara says, Lama Nismacha Parshas Nazir Le Parshas Sota. Why is it that we have, in this week's Parsha, we have a juxtaposition between the Parsha of Sota, then right after that, we have the Parsha of Nazir. What's the connection between Sota and Nazir? So Rashi quotes the Gemara that says, Lomar Lacha, and this echoes the very same sentiment of when you have to make your decisions, when you have to make your kabbalas. Rashi says, Lomar Lacha, Shekol Haroa Sota B'Kilkula, Yazir Atzman Minayari. The connection is, between Nazir and Sota, is that anyone who witnessed what the Sota goes through, the Kilkula, that degradating process, that person has got to become a Nazir. That person's got to take an Nazirus, that they're not going to drink wine because they saw what the how that woman got into the whole mess to begin with is usually because she started drinking wine and it was in a more relaxed mode and her inhibitions were down and that could lead to whatever the story of the Sota. So the Torah quotes a Shem Yishmael that asks an amazing kasha. It should be the opposite. Why the person who saw the Sota was in the base of Midrash, eyewitnessed that terrible degradation, that's a person who has taken the zeros? Fakir, you should be the person who didn't see what happened. Kol shalora sotam kilkula. Because anyone who witnessed such a thing, wow, that's what can happen to a person? I'm not going near wine again. Have you ever watched somebody else get angry and like go crazy in a store and like blow up? And you look at a person getting angry, you're like, oh my gosh, that's what a person looks like when they're in like a fit of rage and anger? Like, I'm never going to do that. I'm never going to get angry again. This is like, disgusting, like totally lose control. And out of, I want, I mean, you can see these craziest things once a person gets angry. And you eyewitness that, you're never going to get angry again. It's impossible. How can you ever, you're going to be like that, totally off the wall? So why does Chazal tell us that the person who sees it, that's the person who has to take the external act of precious? No, the people who don't see it, they need the external act of precious. Not the one who saw it. The one who saw it saw what he saw and will never go there. Says the Shem Yishmul, it's the opposite. Chazal teaching us a tremendous insight on human nature, and that is, when a person has something clear and thinks that it will never go away, it's so abundantly clear what I'm supposed to do in my life, the Avodas Hashem, my role. After a while, no matter how clear it is, it goes and dissipates and wanes, and eventually you don't have that clarity. It's a fact of life. So says the Chazal, Kol Sharoa Sota B'Kukula, when it's clear and you see it, then you have to take a Kabbalah. Then you have to take a concrete action. And if you don't take it then, you'll be left with nothing. But if you take a Kabbalah while things are clear, now, before you leave, then what happens? Sometime in the future, going to Minyan 3 times a day may not be so clear. Bein Koveitim may not be so clear. Staying away from the people and the things that I have to stay with may not be so clear. But I took the Kabbalah when it was clear. I wrote it down. I look back. I know what's really right. I can look back at that Kabbalah. There's a Ramban that says on the Pasuk Shir Shir, Imta Iru, Imta Oruru, Es Ha'ava Ad Shetechbats. The Ramban says, there's one of the Aser Shadiris says, Lo Sisa Hashem Hashem Elokecha Lashav. You're not allowed to use God's name in vain. The Ramban writes that if a person has an inspiration and he doesn't make anything concrete out of it, Achetechbats, the Ramban Darshan's, Lashon Chefetz, a concrete object, you haven't concretized it, the Ramban says you're in violation of using God's name in vain. Because any hisoris you ever get in life is God is being mashra the Shekhinah on you. He's coming and telling himself, he's giving you inspiration. The hisoris is from Ribbono Shel Olam himself. And you didn't use it in a proper way. You didn't make a Kabbalah. You didn't make any acceptance upon yourself to make yourself better. Use God's name in vain. So now is our time, not even to think it through, to write it down, speak to our Rebbeim, what we're being mekabel upon ourselves for next year. The details, the pirtei pratim, have to be decided now, and now we'll have our Kabbalahs, and we'll keep that notebook, we'll keep it written down, and we'll be able to look back at it and see when things were clear, this is what I really wanted to do. So that's in our 9-day Lina training program, that's number one. Number two is that you have to have everybody goes through Nisyonos, but one of the keys is to have the proper hashkafa of why do we go through Nisyonos, and what are the purpose of the Nisyonos? And when you have that perspective and you run into big challenges and little challenges and you're geared with the right perspective of why I'm undergoing this, why is it so difficult, why was it so easy for me to do things last year, why was it easier for me to do things, and then it's just things just become so difficult. So listen to what I'm about to tell you. I read this a few years ago in one of, I think, Rav Zilberstein, they put out a Kuntres before Shavuos, Erev Shavuos, and Rav Zilberstein is Chaim Kanievsky's brother-in-law, is one of the Gedolim today in Bnei Brak. He writes about, or somebody wrote this up. There was a group of Bacharim that came to him, I think Israeli Bacharim, and they said, Rebbe, you know, give us some chizuk. What do you need chizuk? He said, well, to be honest, like the Zman started and we were all into the learning, and then just all of a sudden, like, boom, we lost our excitement about learning. We lost the cheshek to learn. Like we would say, like, I'm just not feeling it. I'm just not feeling it. So Rav Zilberstein, what can we do? So Rav Zilberstein says, he gives it a long, he gives them different pieces of advice. One of the things he says to them is, you should know that the truth of the matter is, any of your Rebbeim, any even big people who you see love learning and have that sweetness of Torah and feel the sweetness of Torah and are excited about it, there's nobody who hasn't had a tkufa in their lives where they're just not feeling it. Everybody goes through that. All of your Rebbeim. Even you think, oh, you know, oh, look at they just, it's just like they enjoy it. No, it's not true. So he says that there's something to when you're just not feeling it, you learn anyway. You learn anyway. And then eventually you'll hit that period of time where you'll feel the sweetness of Torah. It's not always easy. That was one thing he told them. He told them a number of things. But then he told them, and you have to realize, and this is a part of, he speaks to them about Nisyonos. You have to realize that when you get to those stages in life where it's just you're not feeling it, it's a Nisyon. You have to treat it as a Nisyon, as a challenge. And he, you know, the purpose of a Nisyon, Lashon Nis, is to lift you up. Rashi says in Parashat Sisra, it says, Lavavur Nasos Eschem Ba Elokim. Lashon Nisyon, the Rashi says, Lashon Harama Ugedula. A Nisyon is there to push you forward in life. So he tells them the amazing story. He said he heard it from the Baal HaMais himself. He said that there was a Shin Bet Mossad agent in Israel who was on the job, I think, for 2 years. And these guys, I mean, it's like a serious training. Basically, this guy was given highly classified information. And anybody who's in the Mossad, is in the Shin Bet, and is given such information, and you're Chas V'Shalom, Rachman Atzlan, you're taken captive by Arabs, that information must not be leaked, even at the cost of death. That's the way they're trained. Why is that? You know, it could be discussed al pi halacha, but if you release that classified information, you're talking about potentially a result of thousands of deaths of Jews. And therefore, under no circumstances are you allowed to leak that information. So this Shin Bet guy is on the job for 2 years. And Hashem Yirachim, he's taken captive after 2 years. He was kidnapped by a group of Arab terrorists. And for 2 years, this is where Rebbe Zilberstein tells us, for two days, he's being tortured by these Arab terrorists. And he will not, and they're trying to get, they knew where he worked, they knew the information he had, and this guy, the Shin Bet agent, refuses to leak any information. And on the third day, they come to him and they say, by 12 o'clock tomorrow, if you don't leak the information, if you don't give us the information that we know you have and that we want, we're killing you. 12 o'clock tomorrow. Can you imagine that night he's in his cell, and he says, okay, I've been tortured, I've been suffering for 2 days. Am I willing to give up my life? I have a wife, she'll be an almana, I have kids, there'll be a soulmate. I can't do it, I'm not giving it up. That's it, tomorrow I'm giving over the information, I'm going to get out of here, I'm going to stay alive, I'm not doing it. That night, late at night, he's in his cell, he overhears murmuring in Hebrew. And he starts, puts his ear to the wall, and he realizes that it's Hebrew, and it's without an Arabic accent. He realizes that what? The whole thing was a sound. It's other Shin Bet agents who captured him, who've been torturing him, to see if this guy would give over the classified information. And sure enough, he says, okay, guess what? Tomorrow, I'm not giving it up. And they bring him to the room the next day, and they have a gun to the head. And he said, give up the information. And he says, I will not do it. Give it up. We're going to shoot. Give it up. No, doesn't give it up. And sure enough, one of the guys comes over, and he says, Mazel Tov! Ata ole bidarga. You have risen in rank. You have risen in rank. Rav Zilberstein says to these bachurim, he says, every nisayon we experience in life, it's a setup. It's a setup. And who is it a setup from? No one else other than the Ribbono Shel Olam, the Chavod of Atzmo. He handcrafted that nisayon. And guess what, said Rav Zilberstein? He's waiting behind you. That when you pass that nisayon, he's going to say, Mazel Tov, Ata Ole Bidarga. You've gone up another level. Every Nisayon is like that. There's no Nisayon that's there to crush you. Every Nisayon that we experience is to raise it. Now, when you go through life with that understanding, and it's not always as easy when you're in the situation, but if you take that perspective, any difficulty in life, realize somebody's behind you. The Ribbono Shel Olam is about to say, if you pass it, Mazel Tov Ata'ole B'Dargah, you've risen in rank. So this is number two, something to think about when we're expecting and we're aware of the fact that we are going to undergo Nisyonos and how we're going to relate. Number three, I've said this over many years, and this is key. This is so crucial to your growth and continuing whatever you've gained. And that is, you have to have a certain element of simcha over your achievements. And this is something that sometimes can crush us, and if we do it right, it could catapult us. And that, what do I mean by that? Whatever things that you've gained over the year, whatever you will gain, you have to realize that's a tremendous simcha. And we minimize, what do we really know? What have we really gained? What have we really done? How much have we really learned? How much do we know? It doesn't make a difference. Whatever you do, you have to have a certain simcha over what you've done. And there's a pasuk, I heard this shot from Turski as well. It says in Tehillim, in the second paragraph of Tehillim, V'gilu b'ra'ado. V'gilu b'ra'ado, the Gemara in Bracha says, really, darshins, that b'makom gila sham teher'ado. Every time in life you're undergoing some gila, some rina, some simcha, sham, the Gemara darshins, there has to be ra'ado. There has to be a certain sense of sobriety. There has to be a certain sense of Yerushalayim. You go to a wedding, so we know the glass is broken under the wedding. Even at the highest level of simcha, chasen and kala, there's a ra'ada. V'gilu, there always has to be ra'ada. There can never be, until the Beis HaMikdash is rebuilt, there's no such thing in this world as unbridled happiness. Everything has to be tempered to some degree. So listen to this shot. Ritursky said, I think he said it in the name of the Malbim. I have not found it in the Malbim yet, but no matter what, this is a great shot. V'gilu b'ra'ada, apipshuto, means rejoice in the ra'ada. Rejoice in your Yerushalayim. Have simcha over your Yerushalayim, whatever level you've achieved. Mashal, I'll give that I say every year, and without fail, for however many years I've said this mashal over, every summer I've gotten an email, a call, a WhatsApp. I haven't had a WhatsApp till this year, but email, a call, that Rebbe, it happened to me. It happened to me. Exactly what you spoke about happened to me. I believe Guzma to every summer. At least one, if not more. Imagine the following scenario. You're in the summer, you're working as a counselor in a camp. Let's just say you're working in TBC for the summer. And you worked a very hard day. It's been a long day, and you're exhausted. And Baruch Hashem, you did a good job, and you learned even. Wow, you were Kovei Itin, you went to davening in the morning. Great. And the time comes where you're finally ready to go to sleep, and you get under your covers, and you fluff up the pillows, and the AC is working, and everything is gavadik, and you're slowly, your eyes are closing. There's no better feeling when you're like right before you're about to fall asleep, so relaxed, so chilled. And then all of a sudden, before you close your eyes, you realize, I forgot to daven Maariv! Oh, it's nothing more painful. We've all experienced this. So what do you do? What do you do? So there are a few options. You're ready. You're a Ben Torah ready. You want to daven Maariv three times a day. You want to daven three times a day. It bothers you. So you start justifying and rationalizing to yourself. Well, no, maybe I did daven Maariv. I just don't remember that I davened. Okay, fine. But I didn't. I probably didn't daven Maariv. But even if I did, I just shavuos and mincha. Two out of three. And you're struggling with yourself. You're struggling. No one else is there. It's you, the pillows, the covers, and the Ribbono Shel Olam. If you get out of bed, you put something decent on, and you daven Maariv, that is Yiras Shemayim.
That's Yiras Shamayim. And if you do it, you should have daven marid, and you should have such a simcha. Start dancing with yourself. Start doing a rikud. Vigilu berata. That's a devaldika simcha. Because you attained a level of Yiras Shamayim. And, you know, this has happened to me as well. Now that every time I say it over, it's like, there's no getting out of it anymore. You have to get up. And to put on clothes and put on something that's respectable is even more difficult. This happens, but it's just one example of a sensitivity that you develop that just be excited over, wow, I got up in the Marv. I would have never done this a year ago. I learned Hilchos Shabbos that you're not allowed to rub out a stain on your shirt, and I got a stain on Shabbos. I went the rest of the Shabbos and I kept the stain on my shirt. I didn't rub it out because I learned the halach and Hilchos Shabbos. That's a simcha. That's a gevaldik simcha. If you are always besimcha over achievements in Yiras Shamayim, it pushes you so much further. And it's a very important perspective to think about, to have that clear, and Yiras Hashem, it will happen to you. Okay, we're not done. We have a few more minutes. Two more things, if I have time. One, there's a Mishnah at the end of the second paragraph in Avos. It says, V'chol ma'asecha yiyu l'shem Shamayim. Which means that all of a person's actions has to be l'shem Shamayim. Now that's a tall order. Everything, v'chol ma'asecha, that's what the Mishnah says, everything has to be l'shem Shamayim. Now, you know, there are achronim who speak about a person's chiyuv and talmud Torah. We did this sugya a couple of years ago. There's an Or Sameach, there's a Shulchan Aruch Harav. They speak about that a person's long-term chiyuv and talmud Torah is really taloy on who he is as a person. Meaning a person who has more intellectual capabilities, a person who is in certain financial situations, who's capable of learning even more, so then his chiyuv is greater. And a person who doesn't have certain inclinations, maybe his chiyuv is less in terms of your long-term chiyuv. But b'chol ma'asecha yu l'shem Shamayim, that everything we do in life has to be l'shem Shamayim, that is a chiyuv that every single Jew has. There's no one who's pater from that. And if you look in the Rambam has in Hilchos Deos in two parakim, in Perak Gimel and Perak Hei. Perak Hei is all the things about a Talmud Chacham. Things that a Talmud Chacham has to do differently than everybody else. In Perak Gimel in Hilchos Deos, there's where the Rambam puts all the things that every Jew, it says Kol Ish V'Ish, is responsible. Where would you think, V'Kol Ma'asecha, all your actions have to be with Shem Shemayim? Is that in Perak Hei for a Talmud Chacham or for a regular Jew? I would say, put it in Perak Hei. That's a high order. That's a tall order. Kol ma'asecha yishem shamayim. The Rabbah puts it in Perek Gimel. Every yid is responsible. So that means that whether in the end, in the long run, you find yourself, you're on the spectrum of somebody who learns 2 hours a day in the morning, 2 hours a day at night, you're learning 4 hours a day. Or you have a friend who's in Kolo, who's learning 8 hours in the morning and he's learning 8 hours and he's learning 16 hours a day. So does that mean that the person who's learning 4 hours a day has 4 hours a day of Avodas Hashem and the person who's learning 16 hours a day has 16 hours of Avodas Hashem? Not at all. Both people are obligated to have 24 hours a day L'shem Shamayim. You can have two people that go to work. You have two people. You have Max and you have Moshe. They both work in a law firm. They're both successful. They're both getting big, fat checks at the end of the month. They're both working in the same big, top law firm. Max has a sign by his desk that says, Kibbutz Mamon Bilvad, to amass wealth. That's his sign on his desk. That's what's getting him going. And then you have Moshe, who's working the same hours, and on his desk it says, Mitzvahs v'yasafta v'ganecha. Mitzvah making parnasa. Two people, the same hours, the same check, the same law firm. One's l'shem Shamayim. He's doing it in order to fulfill his mitzvah of being with Firenase, his family, so he can send his kids to yeshiva, so he can do proper things with his money. The other person is trying to amass wealth for wealth's sake. In fact, in this week's parsha, by the Nesiim, right, Parshas Naso is the longest parsha in the Torah. I remember growing up, my favorite parsha was Matos Maaseh, and I had one of my best friends was Naso. Which is bigger? So the biggest single parsha in the Torah is Naso. The biggest double parsha is Matos Maaseh. I was stuck with Matos Maaseh. Can you imagine? So I ended up getting out of it, and I ended up I told my parents, I don't want to make the bar mitzvah in the summer, we'll change it to after Labor Day when everybody's back. So I ended up laying Shoftim, and he ended up laying Naso. So in Naso, but then I realized when I got older, in Naso, it's not so bad. Naso is half of its repetition. We have in this week's parsha the Karbanos of the Sea, the same exact Karbon. Every single Naso is bringing the same, it's the same laning over and over again. It's just a different person bringing the same exact Karbon. So I think I remember the Rambam quotes the Chavetz Chaim that says it wasn't. Why does the Torah just say Nachshon v'Namin Adav v'chule, and everybody brought the same thing? Why does it repeat the same thing over again? So Chavetz Chaim says, if I'm not mistaken, that every single nasi had a different kavana. It was the same karbon, but a different kavana. You could have the same job, but if it's a different kavana, it's a different world. The kol ma'asecha yiyu l'shem shemayim is upon every single one of us. And you've seen examples of this throughout the year, of people who are taka. There were somebody who came to yeshiva that I introduced some of the guys to. He's just out of Shraga a number of years ago. There's a habura of guys who wake up at 5:30 in the morning before they go to work. Many of them Shraga guys who were here, sitting here just a few years ago. They learn for an hour. They learn with this Vaharevna program. They learn for about a half hour. They have a shir for a half hour, and then 45 minutes of chavrusa. This is all before a 6:30 or 6:45 minyan. A group of 15 guys, just a few years after Torah Shraga, who are working, who are doing this. The guy I spoke to, he came to visit me. It's unbelievable. He goes to work. He comes home, he spends some time with his wife and his one child now. And then he goes back and he learns for another hour. And he goes to sleep and wakes up again the next morning at 5 o'clock in the morning. That's living. This is possible for every single one of us. It's not an issue, am I going to learn all day? Am I going to make my days, l'shem shemayim, completely and totally. None of us are potter from that. It's a chiyuv upon every single one of us. And not only is it a chiyuv, we know you could do it. We see it being done. We see guys who don't do it, and we see guys who do it. You can be one of the guys who does it. Just to finish off, one last thing to mention something about Shavuos. When we talk about making Kabbalahs right now, how crucial it is to write it down now, there's an added bonus that you have if you take care of this before Shavuos. And that, we spoke about this tonight, so there's a Yerushalmi that says, listen to the Yerushalmi, all the Yamim Tovim, it says the word Chatas, 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 but when it comes to Shavuos, it leaves out the word Chatas, says the Yerushalmi. I heard this from Moshe Tursky, Zecher Tzadik Kosher Ruch Hashem Yikom Damo. I heard this from him, he said this in Shir, Erev Shavuos, I was over to sit by his man by him. He said, it says, Kol ha-mekabel alav all Torah. A person who's mekabel himself all Torah, ki'ilu lo chatasim yemechem. It's ki'ilu, you were never chote ever in all the days. There's, on Shavuos, isn't it mad? People don't know this. Part of the reason of the Simchas Yantav of Shavuos is because if you're able to accept upon yourself the yoke of Torah, you have full kapara for all your sins that you have done in the past. Ki'ilu lo chatasem miyamechem. And that's not only in the past. The Torah takes out the word chatas permanently. Every Shavuos, when you're makabel ol Torah again, you are zoche to a kaparas avonos. So the way Rav Tursky said, he said there's the long, arduous track of Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Aseret Yemei Tshuva. That's difficult tshuva. Here, Shavuos, you get the same tshuva if you're just mekabel ol Torah. So what does it mean, mekabel ol Torah? A kabbalah of ol Torah. So we spoke in Night Seder about The concept of willing to do the halachas you learn. Meaning you're willing, all the halachas that are out there, I'm going to do. If I learn them, I'm going to do them. Rav Tversky said another pshat. He said, Koma Kabbalah Bo Torah is to take one small thing, not all of Tired Mitzvah, not all of Shulchan Aruch, that I'm willing to take upon it all as I learn it. He says, take one small thing that's unmovable, that's unbudgeable, that you're always going to do. Small example, you say every, you know, after Minyan once a day, I'm going to learn one Mishnah. But no matter what, I'm going to always, after Marv, I'm going to take a 2 minutes, I'm going to learn one Mishnah. Or every Shabbos, I'm going to learn a paragraph of Tanakh. One inyan of altar and all means it's a yoke. You're not going to give it up. You're not going to give it up for the year. You're taking it upon the whole year once a week, something small in Torah, and that will give you up kaparas avonos. What is simcha? So, to review, the 9-day Lina training program. Number one, make your kabbalas now. Don't wait till you leave. And if you make it now, not only is it going to bring you success in the years to come, but Shavuos, you get a kaparas avonos. Number two, have a proper perspective on the Nisyonos. Every Nisyon, if you have that perspective, Mazel Tov, Ata Ole B'Darga, the Ribbono Shel Olam crafted this for you to bring you up in levels, it will be that much easier every Nisyon you go through. Number three, have a Simcha over your Shemayim. B'Gilu Bira Adam means rejoice in your year Shemayim. Who's going to be the one to send me that email, to give me that call when it happens to you over the summer, when you're in bed and you forget Marv? Mitzvah Hashem, nobody will forget Marv. And the last thing that we spoke about is V'chol Ma'asecha Yu L'Shem Shemayim, that we're all obligated in that, no matter what amount of hours we learn, every single person is mandated V'chol Ma'asecha Yu L'Shem Shemayim. We should all have Mitzvah Hashem a good Yom Tov and a successful end of the year.